You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Just crazy. I saw Schiff yesterday get up, say, this is Russia. Yeah, I mean, he's a sick man. He is so sick. It is. We went through 2.5 years of that plus. And this guy, he ought to be put away, or he ought to be, you know, something should happen with him. I watched him look straight at the camera and say it, and he laughs at it. They laugh in the back rooms at it. And thank goodness we have John Ratcliffe that came out, the head of DNI. He said it's absolutely false. There's nothing to do with Russia.
October the 20th, 2020, that's President Trump earlier today on Fox News this morning, talking again about the Hunter Biden emails from that computer. And he's correct that yesterday the Director of National Intelligence, Ratcliffe, said there's nothing in the email that we have seen and the computer that suggests Russia had anything to do with creating a false story, false narrative, trying to make Hunter Biden look bad and therefore his father look bad. But that's the fallback. That is the fallback answer for Democrats right now. Anytime anything goes wrong, it goes obviously all the way back to the Trump election when they started pushing Russian collusion. I remind you, nothing was determined that had anything to do with Russia and the Trump campaign. Nothing. Nothing. The only folks who were involved dealing with Russia, the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democrat National Party. And the story is just that. But that's okay. They got their lies. They want to push it. President Trump did also say today, I want to see the Attorney General, William Barr, act fast on the, quote, major corruption in these allegations of this email correspondence. Joe Biden still saying nothing. The Joe Biden campaign and camp saying nothing. In other words, still no denial. No denial that the emails are false or fictitious or anything else. They're saying nothing. Now, at some point, they may suddenly start saying, it's all false. And we took our time to come out and make that statement. You know better than that. You know if they wanted to make anything and put it down, they would do it now. They wouldn't be waiting. They'd be hollering from every rooftop and on every major news stream that they can get on. It's a lie and it's wrong, but they're not. So again, that adds questions about verification or adds support for it. What's your view? The other thing about this Hunter Biden scandal, keep in mind that if Joe Biden is elected president for whatever period of time he's allowed to serve before Harris pushes him out, I would imagine the Chinese and Russians and all of those in Ukraine also involved in these emails will be looking to expose more and video if Biden doesn't give them what they want. We cannot have someone at that level in the White House that could be a subject of extortion and threats from a foreign power being blackmailed. So here we have this day, and we've got a lot of material to cover for you. Oh, one other point. President Trump, is he going to bring up that issue in the debate Thursday night? It is not scheduled. They've already said these are the topics, but when they deal with national security, to me that would be an opening. We'll get into that a little bit later. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Chris Bedford of the Federalist will be joining us and talking about the censorship that you see from Twitter and Facebook and how they are supposedly forming corporate alliances with various groups that supposedly would be good at fact-checking. And the question is, who's fact-checking the fact-checkers? Dr. Lehman will be joining us from the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Some of the latest information about COVID and the confusion from everything about the spread of COVID, positive tests, deaths of COVID, mask usage, and also the story about Rush Limbaugh. Radio icon, conservative talk icon, admitting that he has a death sentence and he's staring at it right now. When he announced that on his air yesterday, the prayers escalated for Rush Limbaugh. And then we also have the story of Jeffrey Toobin, legal analyst for CNN and NNN, on a Zoom video call, apparently exposing himself while pleasuring himself. CNN is saying nothing. We got a lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with a railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on, and you gotta move on at night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
His son walked around like a vacuum cleaner, but they say right in, look, this is the laptop from hell. They say right in the laptop that, you know, the big man has to get 10%, and then in another case they say 50%. This is 100%. This is, and even if he didn't get, and he does get, and he lives like a king, even if he didn't get all of this money, and everybody's known this in Washington for a long time, this isn't surprising, nobody's surprised by this. But even if he didn't, you can't go to China and have the son walk out with $1.5 billion to manage. You can't go to Ukraine and have him get $183,000 a month with a $3 million upfront payment. You can't get $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow's wife, $3.5 million, and you have no experience. You didn't have a job until your father became vice president.
That is President Trump this morning again on Fox News talking about how Hunter Biden got all this money, as it's been documented by the emails, according to the New York Post, that came direct from a computer that he had owned. He had turned in for a repair because it had water damage. Either he turned it in personally or someone else did. They never came around to pick it up as new, and so the shop, by its contract, was allowed to take possession of the computer. And they had unloaded some of the material trying to save it and realized what they had. And when they saw what was on there, they decided maybe the FBI needs to see this, maybe Senate investigators, maybe the White House itself. So beyond that, as to how it got spread around, I really don't care. The fact is that the laptop, the hard drive, all came from the same laptop that was owned or had access by Hunter Biden. And we know also that his own attorney at one point had called the computer shop asking, hey, we want Hunter's laptop back. Now, you watch the left is trying to, how they're going to fight this, how they're going to make it go away. I've always said you can't hold a parent responsible for crimes and actions committed by an adult child. I mean, you could hold them about maybe they didn't raise them right to begin with, but once they're an adult, they're responsible for their own actions, not the parent. Unless the parent is complicit in something the adult is doing. And in this case, everything does say, and according to the emails, and President Trump was just referring to them, according to one of the emails, Hunter Biden is on there detailing how the money is going to be split. He mentions money for Big Jim. Now, there is an uncle he has, James Biden, brother of Joe Biden. And he also mentioned, and we're going to hold money back for the big guy. Everyone's saying that's got to be Biden. Is it proven as that? Nope. But if you use just a little common sense, that's where you come down. And yet here comes the response from the left, because the Biden campaign is doing nothing. He's in hiding. Once again, they put a lid on the story. They put a lid on any interviews with him the other day. Last week when the story broke with the New York Post, they said, we're not having any more conferences today. And it took them a day and a half to kind of get back out. And finally, they got back out. And they go do a little quick tour and a little quick campaign stop. And he's got his granddaughter with him, probably for protection, so they won't get too rough with him. And sure enough, he gets an easy, easy question. He and his granddaughter buy some vanilla shakes, some shakes or malts at a local place. And the question he got from the reporter was, what flavor did you get? Are you serious? We're 2 weeks from the presidential election, a little bit over that this last weekend, and you're asking one of the prime candidates who now has a big question he needs to answer, reference these emails, and you ask, what flavor of malt or milkshake did you get? Biden's response, vanilla and chocolate, black and white. In other words, I'm pandering to the votes again. And here comes Congressman Schiff. He says, we know all of this has to do with the Russians being involved in all this. There is nothing here except the handprint of the Russians.
We know that this whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin. That's been clear for well over a year now that they've been pushing this false narrative about the vice president and his son.
Right. And how does he explain then back in 2008 when then candidate Barack Obama was running for the presidency and his campaign defended his choice of Joe Biden because Biden was backing a bill in the Senate for a bank that supported it, and his son, Hunter, worked for the same bank, getting a $100,000 a year retainer. And Daddy just happened to be the VP candidate. Did the Russians have anything to do with that? Of course not. And Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio says, from what we've seen and looking at the emails and documenting what we can, We have no doubt. These are the real deal.
We had some conversation. Our staff had some conversation with some people over the last couple of days. We actually think the emails are authentic. We think they're real. Adam Schiff saying otherwise shouldn't surprise us. He's only said that for 4 years. And never forget, well, what we just learned a couple of weeks ago with Brennan's notes. We know that actually the person who was conjuring this whole Russia hoax up was Secretary Clinton, and she did it in an effort to hide the fact that she destroyed 30,000 emails. So, we think these things are the real emails.
And everything at this point indicates they are. And the Biden camp is not denying it. They have yet to come out and say it's all false, it's wrong. Now, why would they do that? Well, they can say, well, it's not really worth us even giving attention to. There's no reason for us to explain. Everybody knows it's false. And then again, why add more fire to the fuel, or fuel to the fire, I should say? And maybe just by being quiet, it'll go away. Well, this Thursday is the next presidential debate. President Trump and Joe Biden, unless something changes to cancel the debate, will appear at that debate Thursday evening. The topics of the debate have already been outlined, that they will fall into six different categories, one of them being national security. There is no specific question stated at this point referenced Joe Biden and these emails. Do you think it will be raised? Do you think it should be raised? Well, let me take you back to what happened with the ABC town hall with Joe Biden last week. George Stephanopoulos had the town hall hearing, moderating it for Joe Biden. And George Stephanopoulos is a D.C. Democrat operative. We know that. He'd worked with the Bill Clinton campaign. We know he's aligned with the Democrats. Can they not find moderators that have no political alliance? Or if they are, can they ever find someone that's a conservative alliance? They just can't seem to do that, can they? But here in this case, last time around, the Biden story had already broken, the Hunter Biden emails, and Stephanopoulos asked not one question about that. Not even a chance for Biden to say, well, you know, it's all false, and let's move on. He didn't ask it at all. Brett Baer of Fox News Channel, he is saying that I don't think that the debate moderator this time, NBC White House correspondent Kristen Welker, will ask about it. He said, so therefore it's going to be up to President Trump. That if it's going to be raised, he's got to do it when they're talking about national security. That'd be an opportunity for him. Now, CBS Network reporter did ask Joe the other day briefly about it, and he kind of got the blow off from Joe Biden. That's just common things. You always ask about stuff like that. It's nothing. If Kristen Welker, the moderator, does not raise that question herself, shame on her. But I'm not expecting her to be fair. It may well turn into, once again, as Trump had to go against Savannah Guthrie, he may have to go against Kristen Welker in addition to Biden. But Trump, hopefully, will make the point of it. And he's already alluded today in his interview with Fox News, he's convinced what has happened referenced Hunter Biden and Joe Biden.
You can't go with your father, and every stop you make, you pick up $1 billion. You can't do that. You can't do it. But he got a kickback. You know, in the old days, they used to call it a kickback. But there's no better word. The vice president got a kickback, and everybody knows it, and they've known it for a long time.
They have known it for a long time. And they also have known that Joe has been lying. Joe Biden would say, I never had a meeting with anyone from Burisma. I never discussed my son's dealings with Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company. And yet he was photographed with Devin Archer, who was one of the investors in Burisma, along with Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden didn't bring any money to the table. He brought access to Daddy, who's a VP. And again, the Joe Biden campaign now, after all this is broken, has put out the story in response to the New York Post. As they talked to Politico, Biden's campaign would not rule out the possibility that the former VP did have some kind of informal interaction with the Burisma advisor, Pizarski. And it didn't appear on his schedule. So it's just kind of informal. No, not a big deal. Shook hands. Hello, how you doing? Well, in one of the emails, the same guy writes to Hunter Biden saying, thank you very much for making contact with your father and getting us to talk to him. But again, the emails that are out there right now, and more to be released in details, Congressman Jordan says, if you're looking for some sign that this has validity, look to the Biden camp.
Frankly, I think it's been pointed out the last few days, the Bidens haven't said this is not real. Yeah. They haven't said it's not their laptop. They haven't said these emails aren't real. I think that's a pretty important piece of information.
Obviously, it is. That'd be the first thing we should be doing. But they're allowing Democrat operatives like Adam Schiff and others to rush out and say, well, it's Russians again. The Russians are behind it. I would imagine at this point the American public is fed up with that BS, that line of reasoning, that fictitious narrative that every time there's an issue, it's got to be the Russians. Now, can we absolutely get some quick investigations of the email in detail? I've heard some folks say, well, can't we get an indictment, indict Hunter Biden on this before the election? Not likely. There's just not enough time to carry it out properly. I'm thinking that. I'm not saying it can happen. But the other thing is, how's this playing with the electorate? By the time the election day actually comes, 2 weeks from today, it's estimated something like 40% of the nation will have already voted. And many have already voted now. I've already voted. And if you voted, and maybe you voted for Biden, but now you're thinking, all this stuff, if I'd known this earlier, I wouldn't have voted for Biden. Or maybe you would anyway. But this is a boiling pot that's going to get a lot more attention. And President Trump thinks all of this is adding to his chances to win.
I think he's imploding. You look at all the corruption in his family. It's tremendous corruption. Nobody's ever seen. I mean, that laptop, nobody has ever seen anything like that. He's gone into hiding. He's done the lid again. He's been there for a long time. And things are changing fast. And the numbers at the polls are looking really good. Really, really good.
All right. Well, we will take a break. When we come back, let's talk about how tech has been trying to censor. Stand by.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. The good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think we just got to do our investigation as best we can, get the facts to the American people, and hopefully overcome this obstacle that is now big tech, who is out to get conservatives, out to censor conservatives. That's not a suspicion. Mm-hmm. That's not a hunch. That is a fact. There's been evidence time and time again where they've done this. I mean, never forget, Twitter will censor the president, but they'll let the Ayatollah of Iran, they'll let him put out a tweet saying he's going to strike a blow against American citizens.
Congressman Jordan, Republican of Ohio, how big tech, social media, Twitter, Facebook, Google, all will kowtow to the Democrats. And if it's anything that's damning and damaging for Trump, they go full blast. But anything else, throttle it down. In fact, just make it disappear. As they did the other day when the New York Post first broke the story about the computer from from Hunter Biden with emails on it confirming that his father had met with Burisma execs at least once, if not more, and possibly a payoff to Joe Biden. And what happened? Immediately, Facebook said, we're going to start removing it from our platform. We're not going to help spread this. We have not verified it. Twitter said the same thing. They just wanted it to go away. So you can find the New York Post on Facebook and its Twitter account locked and shut down. And when the White House, some folks in the White House, Kayla McEnany and others, began to retweet what the Post had, they shut their accounts down, as they did some of the senators. And that's why you have now Senator Lindsey Graham, Cruz, and Josh Hawley of Missouri saying, we want them in front of us. And last word, they are still working to have Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook and Jack Dorsey of Twitter to appear before their committee in 2 days, Thursday, the day of the debate, as a matter of fact. And they say, we're trying to work it that they would come in without a subpoena, but we're ready to go with subpoena if we need to. They want them to come in and explain, what were you doing that you begin to shut down this story? That's in the Senate. Then you go to the House. Well, of course, it's controlled by the Democrats. But House Minority Whip Steve Scalise and Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rodgers now leading more than a dozen Republicans and demanding Twitter get some answers for their unparalleled, unprecedented actions as to how they've handled this story, especially when you compare it to how they treat stories that are positive for Biden and anti-Trump. And let me remind you, this is another story that really hasn't gotten traction. It's been kind of pushed aside. Joe Biden's daughter, Ashley, married a Philadelphia head and neck doctor, Howard Krein, in 2012. Krein is now advising Biden on the coronavirus actions and what he should be doing for the campaign. And it just so happens that the doctor is also investing in a coronavirus response company as a chief medical officer at a group called Startup Health. In other words, he's telling Joe Biden what you need to be doing, and then he's going back to his company and saying, here's what we need to do to get in the money. Yeah, there's another question that needs to be raised. We're going to take a break when we come back. Chris Bedford of The Federalist has written a great article about how Facebook and Twitter and the other social media giants are now expanding their fact-checking sources. But it's back to who's checking the fact checker. You use a ruler to measure something? Who measured the measuring stick? That's what we're talking about. Be a fascinating discussion. That's coming up. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And welcome back. We have joining us a contributor to The Federalist. We've had him on numerous times before. Always glad to have his input. He's a vice chairman of Young Americas for Freedom, senior editor of The Federalist, Christopher Bedford. Christopher, welcome aboard again, sir.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, I took notice of an article you wrote, and it ties into so many other stories, and some of your other colleagues have been writing similar stuff. You were talking about the corporate takeover of fact-checking, and you're saying that by the title of your article, it's just a different path to the same partisan censorship. Now, let's break this down. We'll look at what Twitter and Facebook has been doing with the Hunter Biden email stories and saying, well, we're going to remove it because it has not been fact-checked. We don't know if it's real. And yet they never do that, of course, when it involves a conservative story or a slam or slur against Trump. They just run with it. But in this case, they say, no, we have justification. We need our fact-checkers to look at it. What are they really saying?
It's all part of a censorship regime that they've empowered to a large extent. It's existed for a while. We've seen it with PolitiFact and other organizations that are kind of like Southern Poverty Law Centers for media, where they come out and attack different things if they don't align with Democrats' talking points, said that they're fact-checked, not true. And what originally started as the kind of thing that you might, maybe an old Snopes article to see if there's actually a serial killer on the loose or if this ghost story is true, has really developed into people saying that whether it's a lack of context they claim or predicting the future they claim, they will go after Republican, conservative after conservative, declare their story false, and then previously in history, they would use that to remove their Republican advertisements, remove conservative advertisements. It's gotten to a point now where these fact checkers have aligned themselves with Facebook and with Twitter and with Google to give themselves final say in a very rapid timeline. They get paid well for that, handsomely for that, if you're part of their approved group of networks, which does include some conservatives, but very, very few, and they're very much siloed.
Well, the question I raised before you joined us, who's checking the fact checkers? And then again, it's as I said leading into the break, you use a measuring ruler to measure something, but who measured the measuring ruler before you use it? In other words, if it's wrong somewhere, it's wrong all the way through.
No one's measuring the fact checkers. No one's watching them at all. It's kind of similar to what we're seeing with the Black Lives Matter and abolish police movement. They don't want to get rid of police. They just want to be the new police. And that's what the fact checkers are doing here. They want to be the authority. And Facebook and Google and Twitter gave them that ability to really, in real time, be that authority. But what we saw last week was that Facebook decided they didn't feel like waiting on their fact checkers, who almost certainly would have come to the same conclusion, given just a few more minutes or a few more hours. And they decided to throttle the New York Post story based on what exactly we don't know. They've been shifting their excuses. Now they're blaming the Russians. The American government's come out and said that's not true. So we don't even know why they went ahead and did this. And they removed these arbiters, these gatekeepers they had, and said, why don't we just do this ourselves? But it's a new boss who's the same as the old boss.
Well,
just saw Facebook remove another ad, too, saying it was missing context from American Principles Project. They'll take it down for any reason at all.
So the alliance they're making with their, quote, fact checkers, supposedly unbiased, outside their realm of control and influence and anything else. And one of those that we might have thought, the Poynter Institute, nonprofit organization in Florida, that's supposed to be absolutely one of the standards, because they often hold, seminars for journalists and so forth and long training sessions about ethics and so forth. And the Poynter Institute has a good record along that line. And now, though, I'm getting the impression by your article, they're upset that they're no longer allowed to be one of the fact checkers. And so it's not a matter of if the facts are correct, but we want to be a fact checker, and we've been cut out.
Yes, and the Poynter Institute has developed a very good reputation. But one of their biggest projects is also PolitiFact, which has got a many, many years of being a partisan liberal fact checker underneath its belt right now. And they go around with their international fact-checking network, Poynter does, and they approve over who's allowed to be a fact-checker on Facebook, who's a certified partner. There are some partners like Check Your Fact over at the Daily Caller, but a lot of them are very much liberal outlets, like one science outlet that just checked a Federalist article. It's got no byline on it. It's got no contact number on it. It's approved by Poynter, which means it's approved by Facebook, which means it can knock our articles off. We've seen that across the board with Poynter. The Dispatch, a liberal news site that had to remove their fact check after 3 days, claimed it was a technical error. The Dispatch had gone so far as to say that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden don't support late-term abortion. And this is something you don't have to be paying much attention to know that they do support it.
No, we know
it.
That, yeah. You point out in your article.
Fact checkers.
Yeah, you point, again, folks who are listening, Chris Bedford, senior contributor to The Federalist, you point out this phrase, this statement I'm going to read. You said, fact-checking has long been a dubious industry. I think that's being very gracious and polite as opposed to saying it's been a scam and a lie. Go ahead.
It has been a scam and a lie, and I guess I was understating it a bit there. But I've always chuckled to myself at why different newspapers even need to have a fact-check department. Shouldn't their readers and their listeners and their subscribers believe or at least understand that their regular news articles are filled with facts as well and aren't lies? It's as if they're saying, all right, well, this is the part of the newspaper where we just tell the truth. Well, what's the rest of it then? It's like an indictment of how dishonorable so much of our media has become.
You have a colleague at The Federalist, Tristan Justice, who's also a staff writer, and she wrote something dealing with a study of Facebook and Twitter. And, folks, I want to share this with you, and then I want Chris's response, obviously. In her piece, she points out that according to the Media Research Center, which we'll explain in a moment, pointed out that Facebook and Twitter have hindered President Trump's access to the 21st century public square, social media, by censoring the president and his campaign accounts at least 65 times over the past 2 years. Former Vice President Joe Biden and his Democrat campaign accounts, zero. Your response.
Now, what's crazy about that, and that was a great piece by the Media Research Center, is that, well, Twitter just decides who they want to censor. Facebook has long looked at Twitter and said, well, that's silly. You guys are going to get in trouble for that. We're going to let the fact-checkers decide. So until last week, every time Facebook had censored President Donald Trump or anyone else associated with his campaign, they'd relied on one of their left-wing tools to do it. Now they've joined in with Twitter and doing exactly what a lot of people think they do. And if you have any doubt that Facebook and Twitter and Google are on the side of Joe Biden, all you have to do is look to their leadership, look to who they're donating to, look to the statements they've made, and look to the vile vitriol and threats that a number of their senior engineers and even vice presidents have put out. They're all Democrats. Even the person, the Facebook communicator who announced that Facebook was going to be stopping the third largest newspaper in America's article from being distributed, he had four jobs previous to Facebook that were all professional Democratic jobs.
Oh, I'm totally surprised. Totally. Yeah, one of your other contributors, John Davidson, we've also had on numerous times. He also had an article talking about the corporate media, why we'll never report on Hunter Biden's emails. And he's basically saying they're not going to report on it for obvious things that they reveal. They don't want to show this.
And you always get a good idea, especially during the Trump presidency, over when they don't have any actual facts to argue with, and they shouldn't even be arguing with a news story, but when they don't have any facts to argue with, they focus on things like process. So we saw the New York Times wrote a whole story about how there was disagreement in the New York Post newsroom. Other news sites have written all these different kinds of process stories and how they might have gotten this information, but almost none of them have been willing to tackle the question of Joe Biden being a potentially corrupt vice president of the United States, the same thing that we have been investigating President Donald Trump for 5 years now.
All right, so Lindsey Graham has indicated that we're trying to get Zuckerberg of Facebook and Dorsey of Twitter to come appear before us in 2 days, Thursday, the same day of the debate, as a matter of fact, and to answer some questions. But if they won't come voluntarily, we will issue subpoenas. What good would we see come out of that? What kind of things can they crack down in a minute? What can you tell me about it?
The major things that are going to be cracked down on Facebook, Twitter, and Google are what we started to see from the Department of Justice today with antitrust investigations. Those are the places that are going to hit them in the wallet. Are they a monopoly? Have they practiced unfair business practices? Have they used their predominance in the market to buy larger market shares and keep out competition? I think a good case can be made that they have. Justice Department's got a little bit less of an ability to do that, but it's going to be important to bring these people in front of the American people, make them answerable in person and not on a Zoom call, and I think make them squirm in their seats for what they're doing. You can't censor the president's campaign, the president's spokeswoman, the House Judiciary Committee, the third largest newspaper in America, and countless others just on a whim.
To that extent, I know when the president came out and said the press is the enemy of the people, I took exception at that because I didn't want to look at it, but I know what he's saying. He's talking about this kind of press is the enemy of the people because you're not serving the public properly, ethically. Final couple of thoughts from you, sir.
I think that's exactly true. And if you want to get an idea over who's a real enemy of free expression, you have to look no further than the reporters who spent the last week calling for more censorship and more attacks on conservative speakers. They are the real threats.
Excellent point. Chris Bradford, I thank you again for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Tell your colleagues hello for us. That is, again, Chris Bradford from The Federalist about how corporate takeover fact-checking is just the same thing, just a different way of censorship. We'll take a break when we come back. Rush Limbaugh on his program yesterday, making something public that was shocking for many.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Over. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The upshot is that I have been diagnosed with advanced lung cancer. And I wish I didn't have to tell you this. And I thought about not telling anybody.
The words of Rush Limbaugh on his program yesterday. A somber update on his condition. Because the recent scans, he said, show, quote, some progression of cancer, which he said is, quote, not dramatic, but still a step in the wrong direction. It was back in Feb that he was diagnosed with advanced lung cancer. He's missed several shows just this month to undergo some very different treatments and so forth. There's some other things he said I want to share with you. He said, from the moment you get the diagnosis, there's a part of you every day that, okay, that's it, life's over, you just don't know when. So during the period of time after the diagnosis, you do what you can to prolong life, what you can do to prolong a happy life. You measure a happy life against whatever medication it takes. And then he added, it's tough to realize that these days where I do not think I'm under a death sentence are over. He said, now we're all at this point. We all know we're going to die at some point. But when you have a terminal disease diagnosis that has a time frame to it, that puts a different psychological and even physical awareness to it. And he also made it clear, he wasn't saying this just for getting pity and concern for him, but saying basically that's the truth of everyone, and many across the nation face some terminal illness, and they have a time frame that they're dealing with, and maybe moving into hospice because there's nothing else that can be done. But he also acknowledged, as long as I can, I'm going to do what I can. He said, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be grateful. I can come into the studio, maintain as much normalcy as possible. He said, you know, I wake up every day and thank God that I did wake up. And I go to bed every night praying I'm going to wake up. He said, I know many of my listeners are going through the same struggles. In fact, he said, some of them have been offering advice. He said, someone told me the only thing that any of us are certain of right now is today. Is today. I fully agree with that. His show first aired in 1988. And of course, there's numerous awards and honors. Five-time winner of the National Association of Broadcasters Marconi Award for Excellence in Syndicated Network Broadcasting. He is an icon in talk radio, not just conservative, but talk radio in general. And even if you don't like Rush Limbaugh, but if you believe in prayers, I think you should pray for him. We don't want even our enemies and those we disagree with politically, maybe put it that way, to suffer illnesses. Same thing about Joe Biden. There's no doubt in my mind, we're not getting any official diagnosis, obviously, but there's no doubt in my mind he is suffering possibly the early stages of dementia, Alzheimer's. I'm not an expert, but many have told me you watch and see things, you kind of pick up on it. And I certainly don't wish anyone to go through that. I've seen some folks who have. I had a grandmother who did. It's a loss that they're no longer here, and yet physically they are. Well, in North Carolina, the governor is calling a Senate candidate, Cal Cunningham, scandal frustrating, but he said, we're going to get you across the line. We're going to drag you across the line if necessary, because he's talking about this Democrat that's facing a scandal. Cal Cunningham facing a sex scandal is dragging down Democrats statewide in North Carolina. And it's been frustrating because Biden's not campaigning with him. And now more members of his own party are pushing distance between them and himself because they know his affairs exposed his campaign, according to a GOP press secretary in North Carolina. Exposed his campaign is one big lie. In this case, it's a Democrat caught in something like this. Sometimes it's a Republican, sometimes an independent. But nowadays, I don't know how any political candidate thinks they can get away with this kind of stuff. That they could do it and they won't be caught and it'd be kind of go away. And there's some things, of course, that some folks think that Well, I'm beyond reproach, I guess. I mean, Anthony Weiner, remember how he was showing pictures of his privates and sending them to women and our young girls? Don't you know you put anything on there, it's going to come back at some point? And then we have the story of CNN analyst Jeffrey Toomey and what he did during a Zoom conference call when he said, I did not realize I had left everything on and they could see me. Everyone on the conference call did see him as he pleasured himself. Well, there's been some reaction and repercussions, but more probably will come. I am going to spend more time on that story in the next hour. And also we're joined by Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, and talking about some of the latest concerns or overblown concerns about COVID. Please stay with us.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.